Good morning, everyone.
Good morning,
Dave. It's going to be a warm day. Who loves the warmth? Oh, yeah, there's a few. Okay. Good, 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 good. Now, before Adrian and Sam lead us in the Advent litany this morning, I just have a question for you all. I'm going to give you about 15 to 30 seconds to think about it. What brings you joy? And as you think of that thing that brings you joy, just quietly give thanks to God for it, because it is a gift through and through.
Advent is a time of preparing for Christmas. The Advent wreath decorating our church is a sign that Christmas is near. Last week, we lit two candles of hope and peace. Today we will light the candle of joy. The birth of Jesus is a time of joyous celebration. God's people had waited and prepared for the birth of the Messiah for many years. Then, when Jesus was born, it was such a joyful event that the angels sang about it. Let's sing together. Together, let us say, fill us with joy, O God of love, as we await the celebration of the birth of your Son. Help us share our joy with all people by the things we do and say. Amen.
Amen. Welcome to our service here at the Vines this morning, and welcome to those of you who are watching online. Christmas is only 10 days. Very close. Let's stand and sing together. Thanks, DB.
Thank you.
Lord, we praise you and thank you for the gift of joy, especially this time of year, although, Lord, we recognize for some that is not a time of joy. But, Lord, beyond whatever we're going through, may our lives be open to the joy that you have brought to us, the joy of your presence with us, that is with us in any and every circumstance of life. And Lord, we give you thanks for those things that we thought of earlier that bring us joy, whatever they may be, our relationships with one another, our kids, our grandkids. Just the wonderful things, the wonderful gifts that you've given to us throughout our lives and in every aspect of our lives that often we don't notice. And we would pray, Lord, that as we move towards Christmas and the celebration, remembrance of your birth, may we do so with deep and great joy. Amen.
Splendor.
be our life, our journey, that we come and behold you. Lord, as Joseph did, as Mary did, as the shepherds did, as the wise men did, and countless numbers of people ever since, may our journey be one of presence to you, beholding you, acknowledging you, seeing you in every aspect of our lives. We praise you, we thank you, in anticipation of what we will celebrate in 10 days' time. Amen. Just let you in on a little musical secret of mine that is really a dangerous thing for me. As we were singing that last song, I got distracted in my thoughts a number of times at what we were singing, and so I don't know if you noticed or not, but I lost my place a few times. But that's okay, because that's life, isn't it? We lose our place every now and then.
Confession is good for the soul.
Thank you. You're going to give me absolution now? Thank you. Okay, now, the grapevine that has been distributed this week is the last one for the year, and the next one won't be coming out until the 20th of January. So that's all the news you're actually going to get in hard copy, so you might like to hang on to the one if you got it digitally, or you had a hard copy this morning as it came in. The Advent wreath, and thanks to Rob and Varel, and Varel and Rob for doing that for us again this year. For next Sunday, I need two people, and for Christmas Eve, I need two people. So if that's you, you would like to do it as Adrian and Sam did this morning, just come and see me after the service, please. Don't tell me now, I'll forget. Turn the page. Christmas Eve services are at 7 p.m. Service, not services. 7 p.m. here at the Vines, and Christmas Day at 9 a.m. And just an invitation to those of you who are watching online, whether you're watching now or later on, want to come and join us on Christmas Eve or Christmas morning and celebrate our Lord's birth. They will both be great services. There's some flyers on the desk on the left-hand side as you go out about our Christmas services, and if you'd like to take some of them to distribute to the houses around you, or have a look at the map that's there. It's highlighted what streets have already been done, but if you're able to do that, that would be brilliant. Varel has, on this coming Tuesday, a performance of her piano students. That's at 2 o'clock, and you're all welcome to attend. Afternoon tea will be served. There's nothing like afternoon tea. You've got to have afternoon tea. Entry is by a donation of goods for the pantry. So if you're coming, bring something to go into the pantry. Sunday 29th of December, and again for those of you watching online, we're having a service outside, and hopefully the grass will be cut just across from the church on the corner by the roundabout. We'll see if the police turn up again, which they did last year. But they just looked at us and didn't get out of the patrol car and drove on. Circle of Friends meets on the 14th of January from 1:30 to 3 p.m. for any women to come and share a cuppa and a chat. Advance notice on Sunday 19th of January, a wonderful musician by the name of Vanessa Kirsting is coming and will be singing some of her songs for us, and I think it will be a real treat. She is a fine Christian musician and lyricist, and so that will be part of our normal morning service on the 19th of January. The next Friday, Friends, will be the 31st of January. That's ages away, but keep it in mind. And finally, live streaming of services will cease after our Christmas morning service and will kick in again on the 2nd of February. So again, for those of you who watch online, there won't be anything to watch, but why not come and join us on those Sundays? Okay, that's enough.
David.
Yes.
The outside service, bring a chair and a hat.
Oh yes, bring a hair and a chat.
Chat.
What he said.
Yeah. You can chat afterwards in your chair.
See, that's a Freudian slip on my part because of the lack of. Yes, bring a chair and a hat and your lunch, because we'll have a picnic lunch afterwards. Did I get that right, Justin? Good. Okay. We are going to bring our offerings to the Lord now. And I said before, I think, you know, that in these days of digital offerings and so on, and I know some still bring some money and drop it in the basket at the bank, but I think this is just a time of offering of ourselves anew. So just stay seated for a little bit, and we might stand for the last verse. Okay, Digby, one, two, three, four.
Let's offer prayers of thanksgiving. Gracious and loving God, receive our prayers of thanks. As we come towards Christmas, we again give you thanks for the gift of perfect love. And we give you thanks for all that this year has been so far. And we thank you that you will be with us today, tomorrow and forever, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. As we begin our prayers of intercession, we pause to give thanks and praise to God for his many blessings, for the right to come together in his name, for the country we live in, the food that nourishes us, and for so much more. Dear Lord, we pray that your peace and joy will fill our hearts as we approach the blessed season of Christmas. We ask that you watch over our families and friends, and thank you for everything we will eat and receive and the company we will keep at this very special time. Let us be mindful that this season of joy is often challenging for many, particularly for those who may be experiencing ill health, financial hardship, unemployment, homelessness, or loneliness over this period. We pray for those who are preparing for their first Christmas without their husband, wife, mother, father, brother, sister, daughter, son, or constant companion. Our prayer is that you will show kindness to all those most in need of your great mercy. We bring all those on our hearts and minds before you now. Father God, we spare a thought for those for whom Christmas is just another day of persecution and fear in the theatres of war, and for those frontline care workers who show them love and compassion. May they know your presence is with them and that you are their strength and salvation. We pray for our leaders and those in positions of authority, both here and across the world, and ask that you grant them wisdom, discernment, and courage as they make decisions which affect the lives of others. We thank you for the success of Pantry 152. We pray, especially as Christmas approaches, that those who are most in need will feel comforted and encouraged to reach out without feeling any loss of dignity. We pray for the injured and fearful in the wake of the firebombing at a Jewish synagogue, which has been called an act of terrorism. We pray that such terrorism might be overcome and that violent hearts might turn to paths of peace. We acknowledge too that 3 days later, an Islamic school bus was torched outside the bus driver's home here in Ranelagh, whether random or intended as a further act of terrorism, we still find it hard to understand the reasons behind it. Lord, we pray for unity among faith and a greater appreciation and love of all humanity. Father, we know that all human life is fragile and each of us is precious in your eyes. Teach us to value one another as you value us. As we look to the future here at the Vines and the placement of a permanent minister, we give thanks for and ask your blessing on Malcolm and on all those involved in leadership and other chosen ministries. For all these intercessions and for those which remain in our hearts, we hold them up to you and ask these things in your Son's precious name. Amen. Please join me now as we say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, forever and ever. Amen.
Please remain seated while we sing.
You have come to us. You are one with us. Hello, everybody. Hi. Our reading today comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 4, and very short, verses 4 to 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Irene, apart from reading that beautifully, said it was a short passage, so that you've all memorised it, haven't you? What are the first words in that reading? Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Last week I arrived here at church and I faced criticism from a group of men because I wasn't wearing a check shirt. There are two shirts that I do not own. One is check and the other one is white. And today, because the theme is joy, I looked through my shirts and decided I'd wear the happier shirt I own. And I hope that's acceptable to the check shirts here. You'll have a meeting. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. There are other key words in this passage. Let your gentleness be known. Don't worry about anything. Oh, come on. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guide your hearts and hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I had a 30-minute phone call with a dear friend last night who, with his wife, has gone through 2024 as a bit of a hellish year. And his wife will probably not celebrate Christmas 25. They are my age, our age, for those of you who are my age. And as I spoke with John, he was not really joyous. And he was not really happy. But in his faith, he was positive. He was positive. Knowing the future, knowing what months of chemotherapy have done, knowing a whole lot of detail, he was positive. And very often, he laughed. He has a bit of a, was it a regular laugh or an irrepressible laugh? But it's sincere and meaningful. And he was not being disrespectful to his wife or anybody else involved in the situation. Of course they worry. They become anxious and they become concerned. But they don't let that become their dominant occupation. And most of us, if we haven't had a difficult journey in life, have someone close to us who has. Therefore, most of us know at least something about worry and anxiety, tension, sleeplessness, a pain somewhere in our body which usually says to us things aren't right. It could be our stomach, it could be our head, it could be the muscles across the back of our neck. It could be any one of a number of things which say to us, you're not feeling too flash at the moment, are you? Yes, we have those feelings which sort of come under the umbrella of worry, anxiety, etc. And Paul says to the Philippians, rejoice. Jesus said a lot of things that when you read them first off, you think you've got to be joking. And sometimes when we read what Paul says, we might also think, maybe you're not as cynical as I am. But sometimes I read a passage of Scripture and I say, you've got to be joking. And I've got to sit down and struggle with that and pray with that and read it and tear it apart and say, why? Why did I say you've got to be joking? Because regardless of all the wonderful things I can do and am, I'm pretty imperfect. I'm pretty ordinary. And despite the fact that I'm a minister, and I hope because of the fact I'm a minister, I'm a doubter, a questioner, a tearer aparter of the teachings, of the readings, of the feelings, of the revelations. And I don't know about you, but I don't wake up every morning think, oh, rejoice. You ask Judy about the way I get up and start getting mobile in the morning. And I wake up and I lie there and I sort of don't feel too brilliant. Then I have to take off the stuff that keeps me sleeping during the night. But I'm grateful for that gift. Paul is encouraging positivity. When we were in Millicent back in the 70s, in the mid to late 70s, we had a small group who met one night every week for about an hour, and we prayed for healing for people, individuals, for ourselves, for the church, for the world. And it became a very important part of the congregation. And then we decided that it was time to have a healing service Sunday morning with the full congregation, which we did. And I preached a series of sermons leading up to it. We had the healing service. And it turned out to be a very powerful experience for many people. And a lady who was a member of another church, and I will not give away the denomination, that would be quite inappropriate, but this lady said, Malcolm, I heard people were crying in your church on Sunday. What's wrong with your church? And I said, nothing's wrong with the church. People were unloading burdens that sometimes were crushing them, and those were tears of celebration, liberation, hope, and the motivation to go on. Still don't think people should be crying in church. Well, have you heard of the happy clappies? Oh yes, we can't have happy clappies in our church. Why not? Sometimes I'm quite happy to clap in church. I'm not a wave around kind of person. But why should we condemn the way another person worships? And why should we say, oh, but they may not be sincere? What about the person who makes that comment? What about their sincerity? What about their gracious acceptance? What about their capacity to rejoice in the way people express their faith? When I started ministry to Aboriginal people in the north, we had a fellowship night every Wednesday night, usually out at an Aboriginal community. And we sat around a fire, because only one of those communities had electricity. And the Aboriginal people sang their songs to the guitar, and they sang and sang and sang and sang. And eventually they'd say, Milcom, you talk to us about Bible. So I talked to them about a Bible passage that I prepared. And I thought, I wonder whether, after a few of these sessions, I thought, I wonder whether we could do something different. So I suggested some different songs, and people didn't sing so enthusiastically. And I said to a New Zealander who was one of the elders in the church at that time, his name's Ari, I said to Ari, what was going on that they didn't want to sing, they didn't want to join in? It was a different mood altogether. He said, when the Aboriginal people meet for fellowship, they sing the songs that were sung when they became Christians. And their fellowship is a celebration of their coming to Christ. He didn't say this, but I thought, so I trampled on their spirituality. I only have little feet, but I can still trample inappropriately. So we went back and did it their way. The video that was shown earlier, before we started worship, you can look it up on the web, and I'd encourage you to. The song is called One Day, and if you put in One Day and then the word Haifa, H-A-I-F-A, which is in Israel, it will give you the story and will actually show you the video of a choir of 3,000 people, Israelis, Muslims, Christians, Jews and Hindus, singing One Day There Will Be No Wars, One Day Our Children Will Be Safe, One Day There Will Be Peace. Very, very powerful. And the joy on people's faces as they sing, and sing in their own language. See, joy helps us to look outwards. Joy doesn't let us look inwards all the time and feel miserable about ourselves. Joy looks outwards, and because it looks outwards, it keeps us from despair. Now, I don't know whether I thought of the right thing when David asked the question, where's a special place for you? When you think about it. I thought of two special... Am I allowed to have two special places, David? I had two special places. One was the outback, and the other was the Swiss Alps. Places remote, places rugged and distant and serene. And if you've never sat up in the mountains in Switzerland, in the spring with snow still on their caps, and listened to the glorious heavenly music of the cowbells, you haven't lived. And I would go to a remote place any time. The bush, the outback. And it's flat in places, Gibber Plains. God, drive across the Gibber Plains. And rattle your teeth out. Sit on a mountain, sit on a cliff. Sit under a huge rock. Stand among trees. And be filled with the glory of God. So joy looks outwards. It keeps us from despair. It's not obsessive, self-serving, or self-destructive. And that passage which Irene read concludes with peace, which passes all understanding and will keep your hearts and minds in Christ. I'm going to share with you part of a letter that was given to me, and I feel privileged that I am able to share it with you. You may know that Bob Lumsden was a school teacher, and Bob taught for many years. And in recent years, Bob received a letter from a 50-year-old woman living in England. Her name's Juliet. And Bob taught her in 1974 and 1976 and doesn't remember her. I don't remember all the kids I taught in the 60s. Bob. Sullivan's Beach Primary School. And she had been trying for a long time to track Bob down. And she had been reflecting on the life of those who influenced her and touched her life. She had a parent die of bowel cancer, and 6 months later she was diagnosed the same. And she wanted to contact people, in her words, who left footprints on her heart. And she went to some lengths to tell Bob why it was important for her to contact him. From the bottom of my heart, I thank you for leaving your footprints on my heart, she writes, for the valuable lessons you taught me, both educationally and morally, that have helped mould the woman that I am today. She's a uni graduate and a local counsellor. Bob doesn't remember her. Bob didn't even know that she was a child sexually abused. But Bob's kindness, his reassurance, taught her compassion. Is that the joy of Christ? Thank you, Bob, so much for sharing your letter and allowing me to share that little bit. But let's ask ourselves the question, what joyous footprints have we left on the lives of other people? What joyous footprints have we left on the lives of other people? It is the peace of God and the joy of God that keeps us sane, I read in this past week. It's the awareness of the compassionate one who is bigger than our imaginations and bigger than our solutions. It is the love that makes us vulnerable, risk takers, the joy that flares and flickers, the peace that gives no rest as long as there is injustice and need. Let's rejoice together. Do you remember Paul writing to the Galatians saying, the fruit, and he just uses the term singular, the fruit of the Spirit is
love, joy, and peace.
Love, joy, and peace, yes. And together, those key words that we focus on in Advent bring us together and challenge us and enable us. Call us to account, deliver us, and set us free to be the people whom God wants us to be. Let's pray. Our Lord, our God, thank you for the joy of Christ, the peace of God which passes all understanding, and the undeserved, unimaginable love that surrounds us in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's sing Angels from the Realms of Glory.
I'm with Malcolm in some ways, and sometimes I read scripture and think, you've got to be joking. Are you serious? Particularly with Paul. But I also find times when I read scripture and when I sing songs that a phrase will stand out. A passage that I've read over many times before, and suddenly it's just standing out on the page. And in this song we're about to sing, while we were practicing, and I lost my place because of it while we were practicing, it says in the third verse, sages, leave your contemplations, brighter visions beam afar. So why am I telling you that? As we sing and as we hear scripture read, sometimes a phrase stands out, and I think that is God speaking to us and reminding us. So as we approach Christmas, be mindful of the brighter vision that we are being reminded of at Christmas. Let's stand and sing together.
Now proclaim the signs, God. How
The benediction is rejoice in the Lord, and the response is rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord.
Rejoice in the Lord.